come home and eat. Oh, gotta eat. Eating's very comfortable. Eating comfort food is especially important when you're comfortable, right? Janice makes like some of the best comfort food, fried chicken. Her fried chicken, I ask for it every night. I'd eat fried chicken every night if I could. And her chicken and noodles, oh, I'd have that right along with the Ryan's over there nodding his head. Comfortable. You know, sometimes, this isn't even in my notes, I'm not knowing why I'm going on this, but sometimes we have to be uncomfortable in what we're doing when we serve God. Mom taught a wonderful message on fasting last week, and we started putting it into practice. And this week was probably one of the worst weeks, I think, for a lot of reasons that I've had. Not because I was fasting and praying, but I think the enemy wants to come in and disrupt what's going on. And also that I also think, I don't want to give the enemy all the credit here, because sometimes we need to be uncomfortable in what we're doing so the Holy Spirit can move through us, because it's when we're weak that he's strong. I started off the week, and the grandkids came and stayed with us, and I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, I don't remember which day it was, Landon wanted to go to the movies. And I said, "Yeah, let's go to the movies. What do you want to go see?" So we went online and found a cartoon, something disguise, Spies in Disguise, I think is what it's called. It was a good movie. But we were getting ready to go to the movie, and I could not find my car keys, which is a normal thing in our household. I can never find my car keys. Janice even got me one of those tile things that you can hit on your phone to find your car keys, but we just got a new truck, so I didn't get a chance to put that on the keys. And I said, "Janice, you drove last. Did you have my keys?" Of course, she has her set, and I have my set. So, of course, she didn't have my set of keys. So it's interesting when there's another point of view that's going on. So Janice was, if you go into our garage, there's stairs that go up into our house, just four stairs. And she was standing at the top of the stairs because she said, "Go out and look in the truck and see if they're in the truck. Maybe you left them in the truck." So I go out and look in the truck. I am looking everywhere. And she said to me, she said, "It's in the dash." Now, she had a view that I did not have. I was in the seat of the truck, and these newfangled trucks, I don't know why they did it, it's really silly if you ask me, but there's a big dip in the middle of the dashboard that you can't see when you're sitting in the seat. Unless you know it's there, it's there. And I said, "I'm looking on the dash." Janice says, "It's on the dash." And I said, "I'm looking on the dash." And Janice said, "It's on the dash." And we kept getting louder, and I said, "I'm looking on the dash." Finally, she came out and she said, "It's right here." Because she could see it where she was at. She was up higher looking down at it, and I couldn't see it. And sometimes we don't get God's perspective on things. He has things that he wants for us. He has things that he wants us to do that he has a perspective of that we don't sometimes. And instead of getting mad and say, "God, why aren't you doing this right now? I'm looking on the dash." God says, "I have it already there. It's already there. It's right there for you. All you got to do is take it." So then, got the keys, get in the truck. Think, "Okay, Landon, we're going to go to the movies." And it's, I don't know, 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I start backing out of the garage. Now, the mirrors on this new truck stick out a little bit further than the mirrors on my old truck. So I start backing up, and I hear crunch. And if you notice, the mirror's broken off my truck out there. Yeah, it was a bad day. I almost lost my Christian witness at that point in time. I said, "Landon, guess what?" Because the mirror was just hanging from the side of the truck. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I was able to get it back on. I said, "Landon, we're going to have to go to the next movie because I got to go to the car dealer and figure out what I got to do to get the mirror fixed." So I drive to the car dealer, and long story short, they managed to get the old one on enough so it stayed, and they ordered the new part, and I get to go Monday and spend another $300 to get a mirror put on my truck. Yay! Hallelujah! Praise God! That's wonderful, isn't it? So then, the day's not over yet. It's another one of those days. So we get, We decided to go to the 6:30 movie. So I look up at the clock. It says it's 6 o'clock. I said, Landon, let's go. It's time to go. I said, okay, I'll get my shoes on. So Landon gets his shoes on. We jump in, head over to the movie, and go up. There's like nobody there. It was like a ghost town. It's like, yeah, we got the whole theater to ourselves. So we go in, and I told them I wanted to see the movie, and they said, you know it doesn't start till 6:30. I said, yeah, that's fine. You know it's 4:30. Wow, was I off. I don't know what I saw when I looked at that clock, but we were there 2 hours early. Elena says, what are we going to do, Grandpa? I said, I don't know. What do you want to do? I'll just play games. So we did. He played games on the Xbox, on his little whatever his device was that he had. So it was one of those days. And then I'm even lost track of days. Friday, I go to work, and when you start a new diet, things happen to your body. I won't say any more than that, but it was a rough day Friday. But all is good because God's in control. Amen. God has a perspective sometimes. When we get comfortable, let's get uncomfortable in Him. That's not my sermon at all. So I just felt like that was the way the Lord was leading. So I'm not sure how far we're going to get. Well, we're going to continue on where we left off last time. We were talking about fruitcake, if you remember. How many remember the fruitcake we were talking about if you were here? We were talking about, first of all, the fruit in the fruitcakes was what? The fruit of the Spirit. And we were talking about the batter of the fruitcake. Grace in the work of the cross was the flour. The Holy Spirit, faith, and prayer. That was the makeup of our cake. And then we just didn't get to the best part, Deb's favorite part and my favorite part, the icing. And what a thing to talk about when we're talking about fasting is icing. Because that is so good and sugary. And, oh, man, I love, I don't know what it is. I think I said this last time, but the store-bought frosting, there's just something about that fluffy, sugary goodness. I love it. I don't know. Maybe it's because I haven't had Pauletta's icing, that's why. But the icing is the gifts of the Spirit. And we talked a little bit about that. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I think I have a slide for this. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know what you are, Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. However you were led. I never knew the word dumb was in the Bible before. I thought that was kind of interesting. These dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as He wills. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, I pray this morning that Your word would come forth like a two-edged sword. And Father, You would speak through me what You want the people to hear this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we talked a little bit about this last time, but there are 9 gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to break those up. We started talking about it, but I'm going to break those up into 3 sections. The first section are the revelation gifts. Those gifts are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. The second group, and we talked a little bit about wisdom and knowledge last time. The second group, miracles, which is the gifts of power. Miracles, healing, and faith. And the third group is the gifts of utterance. Message in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. so quiet in here. I don't know if you're listening or sleeping. It's all good. So we talked about wisdom and the Greek word Sophia. And we talked about word of wisdom, particularly the gift of the Holy Spirit, is that supernatural wisdom that we only get through the Holy Spirit. We couldn't know any other way. That's the gift of wisdom. And we talked about the word of knowledge. Again, that's something that God gives you supernaturally. And one of the things that I just want everyone to know, and I think everyone knows that, this is a safe place. We want to see the exercising of the gifts of the Spirit in this place. And you may be one of these people that's sitting back, and I think I told the story of one of the ladies from the healing rooms had told one time that was a rather funny story about, you know, sometimes you feel the Spirit moving and you just feel something different. And she felt like she was getting warmer and warmer and warmer, and then all of a sudden she realized that the heating seat button was on in her car. So yeah, sometimes you feel warmer. Sometimes you might feel the Spirit moving on you. But I want you to know, this is very important to me, that this is a safe place to exercise those gifts in. You know what? You may be wrong. You may come forward and say, God gave me a prophecy. And you come up and you're totally all wet. We're still going to love you and we're going to help you through that and teach you how to prophesy. You may have a word of knowledge or think you have a word of knowledge. I want to encourage you to exercise those gifts here. This is a safe place to do that. You'll never, if you don't practice, you can't get good at something. So sometimes we have to practice those gifts a little bit. A word of knowledge is one of those I see happen all of the time. I talked, I think, last time about my wedding ring, and Janice, I don't think you were up here last time, I lost the wedding ring, and she found it in my pants pocket 20 years later. So yes, God can speak to you 20 years after the fact. Oh, and I'm still not wearing it yet. One of these days I'll get it resized. So the next gift that we haven't talked on yet is the gift of the discernment of spirits. So the first word is discernment. It's a Greek word called, I'm not going to pronounce it right because I'm not a Greek scholar, but I think it's diakrisis. It means a distinguishing, is discerning or judging. And then there's the word spirit used here, which is pneuma. Now, diakrisis was really easy. There's only one definition of it. It pretty much means discernment, exactly what the Bible says. Spirit, on the other hand, has three different meanings in the Strong's Concordance. So whenever something has more than one meaning, I always get interested as to why does that mean something different? And which meaning does it really mean here when it talks about it in the Scripture? So when it talks about the discernment of Scripture, so let's first talk about what the three definitions are. The first one is the third person of the triune God, the Holy Spirit. So the first definition of pneuma is the Holy Spirit. So one could say that this gift is to distinguish or judge whether somebody is operating in the Holy Spirit or not operating in the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't think that's the case because this word appears 350 times. I know, I'm a geek for details. It appears 350 times in the New Testament, and every time it refers to the Holy Spirit, it's always capitalized. It's not capitalized in this case. So I don't think that's what it means. The other definition of spirit is the spirit, man's spirit, the spirit, soul, and body that we have as man. Now, I don't like to read what other people say a whole lot because most of the time there's some all kinds of garbage out there on the internet that's just garbage. Sometimes there's good stuff out there on the internet. Most of the time it's garbage. And so I was reading something in one of the magazines that's a popular Christian magazine. I won't say which one. But they were talking about the discernment of spirits, meaning judging one another. We're supposed to judge one another. I'm like, no, I don't think that's right either. And they use that verse as an excuse so we can go around judging everybody. Janice, that blouse looks terrible. I'm sorry. You shouldn't be wearing that. I'm kidding, of course. But we're not supposed to judge one another. We're supposed to love one another. In fact, it says the gifts are for what reason? The edification, right? So let's go to the next definition. The next definition is a spirit higher than man but lower than God, an angel or a demon or evil spirits who were conceived as inhabiting the bodies of men. The spiritual nature of Christ higher than the highest angels and equal to God and divine nature in Christ. But the first part of that, used as demons or evil spirits, the discernment of spirits. Because sometimes when people, I'll use an example, and I've used this example before, but you know what? It's one that I know. Sometimes when you're praying for somebody and you just can't break through. Have anybody been there before? You prayed through for somebody, you just can't quite break through, and you don't understand why you pray and you can't break through. I think this gift comes into play a lot of times in that circumstance. And I think a lot of times that there are spirits that are at work in that person that you're praying for. And until you discern it and know how to bind that spirit and call it off, that spirit will remain and you can't break through. You can't break through because that spirit, you need that gift of the discernment of spirits to know that you need to break through that. Now, there are people, and I'm not going to mention any names because some people might know who this is, that chase demons everywhere. Everywhere they go, there's a demon. There's a demon somewhere. Oh no, there's a demon over there. Oh no, Sister so-and-so has a demon. Oh no, Brother Barry, you got a demon on you. We can go a little overboard with that sometimes. And I'll use a little exaggeration here, but true, this happened with somebody. Somebody had a bad day like I had Thursday. It was a bad day. But we praise God through all of it, right? Think of Paul and Silas when they went to jail. You think that was a bad day for them? Well, they were thrown into prison in the innermost parts of the prison. And from what I've heard people say, that's the filthiest, most disgusting part because that's where everything runs. Two is the middle of the prison. Can you think they had a bad day when they had that happen? But anyway, so this person, we would go, had a bad day at the drive-thru and said, oh, you know, I was at the drive-thru the other day and they gave me the wrong food. That never happens around here, right? We always get the right food when we go to McDonald's. And I had the wrong food and they gave me the wrong drink and it was all cold. You got a spirited drive-thru on you. Nope, don't think so. I think they just gave me the wrong food. But anyway, the discernment of spirits. We need to be key to the Spirit, to what the Holy Spirit is giving to us. This is one of those gifts that I've seen only operate once in my life. I've seen it operate a lot in the healing rooms with a lot of different people. There is a controversy. You know me and controversy. I love controversies. There's a controversy out there that says a Christian cannot be demon-possessed. There's lots of controversy around that. I'm not going to give you my claim on that. A lot of people say that's because light can't exist where darkness is. Some people say that's an oppression versus a possession. So call it whatever you want. I've seen people who are believers that have demonic spirits on them in some way or another. So having said that, we have to be able to discern what those are. We have to discern, is that a spirit of God or is that a spirit of the devil? And do we need to bind that off of, and bind that demon and cast it away? So discernment of spirits is one of those gifts that if you have it, it's useful. The one time it happened to me was in a healing room, and we were praying for this person, and nothing was really going on. This person claimed to be a Christian. Don't know if for certain if they were or were not a Christian, but they claimed to be. They claimed to know Jesus. But you know what? The enemy knows Jesus. The enemy knows who Jesus is. So they claimed to know Jesus, But I knew immediately there was a demonic oppression upon that person. Oppression, depression, confession, you call it whatever you want. There was something there. Won't get into the controversial part just yet. Immediately laid hands on that person, and with that person wasn't speaking to me, said, "Get the HE double hockey sticks away from me." And I knew that wasn't her talking. Because I knew that's what I needed to cast off of her, is that discernment of spirits. And sometimes we need to be keen in the spirit to do that. And one of the things that you'll notice, and I'm going to go on and keep going on rabbit trails. I guess Jim's rubbing off on me now. Go on a little rabbit trail. We'll come back. We're coming back off of the rabbit trail now. Back off the rabbit trail. My mind just went blank. So the next gifts, and I know I'm not even paying attention to the clock. Is that okay? We can go down till 2, 3, 2. Okay. These are some of my favorite gifts. I guess I love all of the gifts, but these are the power gifts. The gifts of power, miracles, healing, and faith. The gift of miracles. Now, this is something that I found very interesting. I love the Greek and how the English language just doesn't do a good job of describing things. The word used for miracle, we've talked about before. When we were talking about power, the word dunamis, remember dunamis, which means power? That is the word that's used for miracle in this passage. Isn't that fascinating? Power. Strength, power, ability, inherent power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature or which a person or thing exerts or puts forth. The New Testament, the word dunamis is used 116 times. But the word miracle, the English word miracle, using in place of it, was only used 7. So I thought that was kind of interesting that when they use dunamis, sometimes it means miracle, but only 7 of those 100 times, what did it mean? Not power. Webster, Mr. Spiritual Webster, says a miracle is an effect or extraordinary event in the physical world that surpasses all known human or natural powers and is described, that surpasses all known human or natural powers and is ascribed to a supernatural cause. So there's another part of that scripture. It's the working of miracles, right? So I had to look up that one. What is that Greek word? It's an energema, which our English word energy comes from. It means a thing wrought. So kind of an interpretation of the gift of working of miracles might be a thing wrought with power, because in the Greek, that's what it is. Miracle is a thing wrought with power. How many want to see miracles happen in this place, in this community, in this region? I'm telling you, it's coming. That vision that I had, there is something new that's happening in this area. In this area. We're going to see miracles. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. We are going to see miracles. Now, there's one thing that I'm sure we've all prayed this prayer. God, why are we not seeing that? Some of us have prayed, why can't we have revival? Now, I'm not a big fan of the word revival. I much prefer awakening, because revival means something was dead, and although maybe it was, if we're in Christ, we're not dead, we're alive. But we may have gotten comfortable in what we're doing. We may have gotten just a little bit comfortable. We might get a little bit busy. How many of you have busy lives? A few of us do. Tell you about my weeks sometime, just so you have an idea. When Pastor Jim asked Janice and I to pastor here, we immediately knew that was what we were supposed to do. There wasn't even a question in our mind. And we love doing it. But I can tell you my weeks are exceptionally busy. I usually get up, and it's been busier lately. I used to be able to work from home remotely, and my company has decided they're going to pull that away from everybody now, so I can't work remotely anymore. So I have to drive to Bloomington every day. So I have 7.5 hours of driving every week, just driving that I have to do. Now, thankfully, I found Audible books. They're fantastic. You can listen to books while you're driving. That's been helpful because I now have 7 hours of time that I can spend with the Lord or listen to books, Bible or whatever. So that's been helpful. I usually work 50 to 60 hours at my regular job a week. Just kind of comes with the territory and the job that I do. And then throughout the week, somebody asked me, well, how much time do you spend? One of my coworkers asked me, knew that I had become a pastor. And she said, well, how much time do you spend a week as doing pastoral duties, as they say? And I said, well, you know, I never thought about it. Let me think about it a little bit. So if you look at the time preparing for a sermon, I'm so thankful when Matt's here because that's one thing that's off of my plate. I don't have to prepare for worship or if somebody else is doing the message. The last 2 weeks have been really a lot lighter because mom's given the message or we had the Christmas thing, which was wonderful. So I love it when that happens, but at the same time, I miss not being able to teach and to preach. And so I edit it all up. By the time we do all that, the church business, we have to pay bills, we have to come to meetings, although that doesn't happen very often. We have to meet with people. We go to the hospital. We're here doing stuff with the church, probably 30 hours a week. So I have a full-time job that I work 50 to 60 hours, and then I work probably another 30 hours at the church. And not complaining, don't get me wrong. I'm not at all complaining about it because I love doing this. I would love to do this full-time. And I'm going to get on another soapbox. You've heard me talk about finances before. Church should support their pastors. Forget I'm the pastor for a minute. Churches should support their pastors. Their pastors should not have to work full-time jobs. It's a burden, let me tell you. It's a burden. I'm not asking for a raise. I don't take any money out of the church right now, and I believe that's where God wants us at. But I believe that in the church today, it used to be, I remember when Janice and I were growing up, we went to First Assembly in Pekin, and Pastor Callahan, I don't know if any of you knew him back then, was a great pastor. We love Pastor Callahan. The church supported him. They paid for his house. They paid him a good salary. He didn't ever want for money. They paid a youth pastor. They paid for his house and his salary. Today, now back then, I did a little research. Back then, I believe the number was 10% of pastors worked outside of the church. Anybody want to fair the guess today what percent of pastors work outside of the church and a regular job? 60%. 60% of pastors have to work outside of the church. They can't get supported. There's not enough money in the giving and the tithings of the church to support them. I don't know why I'm getting on a soapbox, but one of the things that always bugs me, I'm going to stay on my soapbox and maybe we'll finish on the soapbox. There's been a lot of charlatans out there online and on TV and on things like before that are out there trying to get your money. And there are, and that's the truth. And quite honestly, that's probably turned a lot of people off to giving. We used to give to outside sources and we're very, very careful to those places that we give to now because of that reason. I mean, I can name two or three names and you would all know who they are and that they were charlatans. They were out to get your money. But at the same time, there are those that aren't that I believe should be paid commensurate with what the corporate world's paying. I heard somebody say the other day, there was a pastor of a huge church, I mean enormous church. The pastor is the CEO of the church. They're like the CEO of an organization. Does anybody want to guess how much a CEO makes on average? The average salary of a CEO? Too much? It probably is too much. $2.5 million a year, total compensation. That's average. Now, there are small businesses that they make $50,000 a year, but it's commensurate with the size of the church. And I had this pastor, he posted on, like we do, we post all of everything we're doing. And this pastor made, I want to say it was $100,000 a year. Everybody was up in arms about that. How can a pastor make $100,000 a year? I don't even make that much money. That's $100,000 a year. I'm telling you, when you're a pastor and you're giving or you're doing what you're supposed to do, you give most of that away anyway. You don't even keep it. So, but at the same time, that pastor doesn't have to worry about finances. That's one thing off of their mind that they don't have to worry about. So anyway, where was I going with all this? I don't know. It was another rabbit trail. Support your pastor is where I'm going. Support your pastor, wherever that may be. If it's here, great, fantastic. We appreciate your support. Not looking for a raise, so forget that. But I do want to say that as we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, I'm going to bring it all together here now. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit and being comfortable. Part of being uncomfortable is taking that thing that you love the most and letting go of it. Money. Oh, man, it's my money. No, it's not. It's God's money. It's not ours. It's God's. It's all His. He's only asking for 10% back. It's all His. What about our time? You know, I wish I had, especially in this time of prayer. You'll notice that on our announcements, I think we had 4 slides about prayer. We have our hour of power prayer. We have our Wednesday night prayer. We have our pre-service prayer. Jesus said this is to be what? A house of prayer. This house is to be a house of prayer. And as we want to and we desire and we're seeking the gifts of the Spirit, how do we get to that? We get to that by spending time with Him in prayer. Spending time with Him throughout the day. You know, the Bible says pray without ceasing, and I think Mom mentioned this in her message the other day. No, that doesn't mean we're on our knees 24/7. That just means we're always in communion with God. As I drive my 7 hours to work, I'm in communion with Him. I wish I had more time. We talk about things not happening and why we're not seeing things. And I read things from Catherine Coleman and I read things from Smith Wigglesworth. I love Smith Wigglesworth. If you don't know who he is, he was a great faith healer back in the early 1900s. Smith Wigglesworth read the Bible an average of 10 hours a day. He prayed an average of 8 hours a day. That's pretty amazing. He also never allowed the newspaper or anything in the house that would shake his faith. No newspapers, no news. If anybody wanted to talk to him about politics, hey, did you hear what's going on with Trump? He'd shut you off. He didn't want to hear about it. He only wanted to commune with God. He didn't want to listen to other preachers because he wanted to hear from God. He didn't want to hear from what's going on. We want to see these gifts manifested, these gifts of power of the Holy Spirit. We want to see miracles. We want to see healings. We've already started to see a little bit. It's time to get uncomfortable. It's time to go out and spend some time with the Lord. And that may be an hour a day. It may be that we need to rearrange our schedule a little bit or do something different so we have the time to spend with Him. Man, I wish I had the time, more time. And as that video said, if you have no other resolution this year, yes, I need to lose 10 or 15 pounds. It's not a New Year's resolution I have. Shut up. No, nothing from the peanut gallery there. Yes, I do. I know. Maybe I will. But the one resolution I have for this year, and I would challenge you all with this year, is to spend more time with the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You for Your word. We thank You that You have given us the opportunity to understand Your word, to know what You want to do, to move in our midst. And Lord, that You need our spirits to be in alignment with Your spirits. And I pray, Father, that You would give each of us in these coming weeks and these coming months and throughout this year more time. Help us to clear our schedules and give us more time with You, that we can spend with You in Your word, that we can spend with You in prayer. And we just thank You for that right now in Jesus' name. We thank You, Lord, that You're pouring out Your anointing in this area, in this community, that this is a move that's going on this year in this place, in this time, at this season. And we thank You for that in the name of Jesus. And everybody say it. Amen. Amen.
Share a little testimony.
Sure.